Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Hello, shoppers, and good morning, and welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. It is Saturday, October 2nd. Oh, my heavens. What happened to September? It's like it just got here. It's like the one cool relative you have who comes over and then decides, listen, we need to get home early. The dog probably need it. And then you say, no, wait a minute. No, stay. And there it goes. Chilly this morning, and it'll get even chillier. We'll get to that weather forecast in just a minute. How are you? Something to warm the customer service cockles of your heart this morning. Tony Ellsworth. He is one of the assistant principals at Ankeny High School. Going to join us this morning. Also, what is the best customer service movie ever? I saw it last week. I've seen it so often. I know it by rote. I could recite the lines, and maybe I'll do a little. Wouldn't that be interesting? Sure, it wouldn't be. But I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you why it's the best customer service movie ever made, and we'll get to that. Also, something from the Secret Shopper Reader Mailbag. A lot of responses to the Secret Shopper review of Des Moines area high schools. We'll get to that. And when a local company closes, as one is about to do in the fine city of Ames, Iowa, what's customer service got to do with it? For any company that closes at any time. And take a peek at that. Your weather forecast, we're looking at it right now. Sunny, cool, windy. Yeah, this cold front. Did you hear about that? Did you get the memo on this from Willard Scott? Yeah, this big old cold front came through as we slept soundly. And now we've woken up to, to chilly temperatures. Nice, plenty of sunshine, but that's one thing I never liked about winter. You look out the window, it looks, hey, it looks like it'd be 80 degrees out there. All right, the snow notwithstanding. And then you go out and you freeze your keister off and you put your beach ball back down and put on your boots like a reasonable person. 59 is all we'll manage for a high today. Yes, and then frost. Now it says here after 4 a.m., so apparently up to about 3:59, we're fine, and then frost. Yes, and down to 36. Oh, my hat, what are these temperatures? That's got to be a misprint, tell me. And then for Sunday, it says frost before 9 a.m. Apparently then at 9:01, it all goes away, and then it's green grass again, and I like to watch that transformation in a high of 58. Monday, back to work, a little bit warmer, back to 65. Currently, we are at 50 degrees, and Thursday Secret Shopper Review, and if you're a newbie to the old radio program here, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, it is part of the synergy between the show and the blog called The Unsecret Shopper, which you can read by going to www.theunsecretshopper.com. And I've had a lot of people, I do training for Dahl's Foods, and I've had a lot of and really old-timers, folks, you know, over 30, ask me, Johnny, what is a blog? What is that? And a blog is just, think of it as a newspaper article but written on your computer monitor, all right? It's an article, and you can write a blog. Anybody can. Yeah, I started this in January. It's been amazing, the explosion of how it's really grown. But so, yeah, www.theunsecretshopper.com. It's also where you can send comments as well. My email's in there. I'm on Twitter at unsecretshopper and so forth and so on, all the portals. Thursday's review is part of an every Thursday review I do on that blog where I randomly select a business or business category in Des Moines, and then I just go secret shop it. Yeah, I just take it upon myself. You know, I'm going to go walk around some business posing as a customer of that business, a potential customer, and see how they handle it based upon what I term the five pillars of great customer service. These, to me, are the things that have to be present and omnipresent in every experience we have in retail. And you know what? Just about everything is retail. I mean, just about everything we do is retail. It really is about selling on some level. But those five pillars, I think, have to be present. They include smile, greet, engage, thank, and follow up. And there has been a sixth addition to it, and that is serve chocolate. But you know, I don't expect to go into a high school and be served chocolate. But listen, if they would have done, they could have brought me cookies. What is wrong with that? What's wrong with being spoiled? Because here's the bottom line: we deserve it. You do, and I do. That voodoo that we do so well, we deserve to be spoiled. Yes, by the people who are entrusted to serve us. Whether it's a grocery store, whether it's a convenience store, furniture store, all retail is designed to solve a problem. And schools are no different. What's the problem? We're kind of dumb. That's the problem. And how do we get out of being dumb and get more educated? Yeah, schools do that. And schools have to sell themselves on some level. And schools do differing jobs of that. And there's the external marketing, which is the pamphlets and the website and all that stuff out there. They really, honestly, I've written 30,000 ads for radio and television over my 25-year broadcasting career. And I'm going to tell you right now that none of that makes any difference. I can write the best ad in the world, but if the company on the other end of it doesn't deliver on the promise that I've written, then it doesn't matter. And so ultimately, everything that this blog and radio show and my company, the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E, is about, is helping companies deliver on the promise. And so, what promise do high schools make to us as parents with prospective students? Well, let's take a step back just a minute and just basically let's admit that high school was, and really always will be, regardless of the movie Grease, one great big ginormous acne-riddled bully beat-down locker room awkward gut-wrenching girl-crushing pop quiz-taking stench fest. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, sure, high school's got some cool moments. I mean, there's like pizza on Fridays and chocolate milk. At least we had that at Ballard High School when I went there. And, you know, those were high points, I thought. And then there's, you know, I hung out in the music room constantly. I was a music dude. I was a band, music course. I kind of liked it. And it wasn't an accredited thing. I just went down there and hung out and skipped other classes, unfortunately. But sure. But generally speaking, yeah, our time through high school is this difficult mouse race that someone once said prepares us for the rat race. Yeah, so it's tough. And the people who help get the mice to the finish line, teachers and administrators, are underpaid and unsung heroes. You are. You take shots, you take the shots, you miss out on all the credit, and you do it with aplomb. You are truly the angels among us. The worst teacher I've ever met is one of the best people I've ever known. And that is as true as anything. You mold, you lead, you cajole and motivate us through the best and worst years of our lives. We start out as young people that become the adults who will determine the future for all of us. You have the biggest responsibility of anyone, and you do it with amazing grace, talent, and skill. So what determines where parents send their kids off to the school where those great teachers are going to do their teaching? Well, you know, location, location, location. It's kind of a real estate thing, right? I grew up here. We started 1859. My dad built this house. And then I was born in it. And then I raised a family. And my kids were born in it. And we've never, for 170 years, we've never left this stinking house. Somebody needs to clean it, for heaven's sakes. And so you just happen to, is it blind, dumb luck that you happen to have went to the high school you went to? Did your parents move to that area and you enrolled? What determined it? Do test scores have an influence on where we go to high school as students? For some parents, yes, and particularly in the Des Moines Public Schools, you've been taking your shots, right? If you read newspapers and radio and TV and all that, you think, man, you know, I mean, if you enroll my kid at a Des Moines high school, they must all be dragging their knuckles and, you know, spinning plates and trying to communicate monosyllabically. I mean, you're afraid of that because test scores have been down. And don't argue the merits of testing and what impact that really has on. I mean, I was a listen, I got to tell you, oh, my heavens. I tested terribly. I had an IQ of 130, you know? I mean, I was one of the smart that you look at that and you say, wow, that's brilliant. But I flunked out of 5 colleges and almost flunked out of high school. And that's the truth. So what is our intellectual IQ, our emotional IQ, our verb? I mean, yeah, there's all these things that go into making us smart, dumb, or otherwise, right? Well, what role does customer service play in our choice of where we send little junior or juniorette to high school? Well, if you're a parent with a prospective student about to move into the Des Moines area and you're visiting schools, it might be really reasonable to think that your decision could be based in some part on the way that you are treated by school officials when you visit. Does that sound reasonable? Yeah. Because if they treat you like real, like kings and queens, you're thinking, you know, they may treat my son or daughter that same way. That's a place I want to go. Do the five pillars of great customer service have a place inside high schools? Should administrators be good at smiling, greeting, engaging, thanking, and follow up? It seems reasonable to say yes, but that's the question. I can't just assume because that makes you and me out of what? That whole thing. Yeah, that I kind of screwed up there. So that's what the Secret Shopper wanted to find out. 10 Des Moines area high schools, 5 in the metro, 5 in the burbs. You've got Ankeny, Dowling, East Hoover, Johnston, Lincoln North, Roosevelt, Urbandale, and Johnston. Why did I write that twice? So clearly, I need to go back. Maybe I need to really finish up that senior year back at Ballard. The scenario is that I have a 15-year-old son named Logan, who I do not have. And I'm homeschooling him down in Texas, which I am not. See, this is all just a bunch of lying. I want to move to Des Moines and enroll Logan, which, of course, I don't because there ain't no Logan. I'm not concerned about his academics as a kid. He's brilliant. He's a chip off the old block. I want him to learn social skills because eventually he's going to have to go out into the world. I would think that scenario for you homeschoolers probably makes it kind of resonates. Yeah, because we've got this, I've been teaching the kid at home, and but he hadn't been out there matriculating much in the world. And so maybe enroll him a little junior high school dealio and get him used to socialization. We're not worried about the academics as much as just, is he going to be like a freak, you know, when he's 18, wandering around, wondering what all these people are doing standing around him or her. So that's the scenario. I walked into each school and told them that. And the way each school handled it was fascinating. Really was. We'll start with Ankeny High School and just briefly go through these 10. Tony Ellsworth, who you're going to hear from here in just a little bit, the assistant principal, one of them at Ankeny High School, was very enthusiastic and passionate about everything to do with Ankeny High School. He talked at great length about their academic, athletic, and music achievements. Talked about that apparently another high school is going to be built in Ankeny. Told me to go to their website, check it out, got me a student handbook, a lot of other things. Unfortunately, Tony, and he knows this, he read a room, didn't ask me any questions during our interview, our time together, right? And remember that retail is like dating. It's like you're on a date. I tell trainees this all the time. You go on a date, you go on a first date. Remember, two people who have never met ever, who know nothing about each other, who are trying to get to know each other on some level. Each has an agenda. Each has a position they're taking and they represent. What's the best thing? What's the most engaging thing you can do on a date? Ask that person about themselves. Tell me about you. I'm going to make this about you. Now I gotcha. Yeah, you're in now because I'm going to, hey, he wants to know about me. Let me tell you about me. Have you got 12 hours? So you ramp, right, and that's how you pull them in. You get them, and then you truly listen to them. Typically, though, what happens instead is that people who are in a business position, whether it's a principal or a manager or an employee or whatever, all they are thinking about is the company that they work for and all of the attributes and the features and the benefits and what they have to offer to the customer. I have to tell you something that's like the least important thing. It means nothing. It just doesn't. Now, it means something, but it really doesn't. You know what means something? Getting to know someone, becoming friends with them, connecting with them, one-on-one, human beings. What we do is behind us. Who we are is in front of us. And so that's a level of engagement that I think that school administrators, principals, teachers, everyone, support staff, that's where they should be at. Milk of human kindness. And so Tony did a great job. He's very engaging. He just didn't ask me any questions. He didn't offer me a tour of Ankeny High. Beautiful facility. So he came close to asking me a question. Like for one time he said, I don't know how many kids you have, but... and he said, I don't know what your kids are interested in, but... And then he went on to tell me what my kids might be interested in. Sure. But of course, unless you ask, how can you know? Sure. So he knows it. He's fantastic. You're going to hear from him coming up here in just a minute. It was very engaging. Dowling High School, Tasha was the best of both turns, both days, both reviews at touring me through the school. and asking questions and then answering them with an attribute of the school. In other words, I had this thing or the kid does this. Oh, let me show you this thing. Yeah. She spent over an hour with me. It was unbelievable. Tasha could sell ice cubes to Eskimos. And then she could do that. She was just phenomenal. But the one point where Tasha sort of slipped back, and this happened a couple of times, is that I asked her reasonably enough, what's the good side of Des Moines? What's the bad side? Remember, I'm moving up from Texas, and I'm going to determine where I move is about neighborhood and school, okay? Reasonable question for a parent to ask. May not ask it that directly, but that's a question. And Tasha, in her position, probably could have said, you know what, they're all good. You know, every side has its attributes. I love Des Moines. You just can't go wrong. That's probably how that question should be answered. Instead, Tasha replied, the west side's definitely the best. The east side is where the poorer families live. I wouldn't want to live on the east side, but that's just me. And again, you just can't answer that question like that because it really brings the whole institution behind you down. I think in the person's eyes, even though you know they may be asking that for that answer, that's not the answer you can get. So politically incorrect, just a bad answer. At East, Roxanne, counselor, very pleasant, but the first thing out of her mouth was that East is a persistently low-achieving school and it has a lot of diversity. And that's what the city schools, what the administrators led with. You know, we got a ton of diversity. And that's great, but I mean, you know, I probably know that. You know, it's a reasonable thing for people to assume. There has to be more. Diversity is great, but there has to be other things, right? Yeah, and sometimes those things are kind of hard to see, especially when those people are inside. When all you see is your four walls and all you see is black kids and white kids and Asian kids and Hispanic kids and all the time, and you see maybe racial problems inside your school, you're going to see what you do through the prism of race and diversity. And, you know, that may be one of the least important things about where you work. In fact, you know what? It is. I mean, there's hundreds of other things. We just have great kids. They're smart. They're engaged. They're energetic. They want to succeed. And they're overachieving because they are in a school and in a place where they know how the world sees them. It sees them as they're below some line of poverty or economically troubled, and so the kids that make it, they strive, they can succeed anywhere. Yeah, now that's that ignites you. Johnston, Audrey Bell, a counselor, did a nice job, was very energetic, gave me a nice tour. But when I asked her, is there a good side of town and a bad side of town? She said unofficially, yes. If I lived downtown, I wouldn't put my kid in the Des Moines public schools. They've had a lot of issues, unquote. All right. Yeah, probably not the right answer. You just can't go there. Again, you can't throw them under the bus. At Lincoln, was the most disturbing. At Lincoln High School, they're locked down. So when you go, a lot of schools are this way. Well, not all of them, but some. You have to buzz a buzzer, and then they let you in. They unlock the door remotely. All right, so I hit the buzzer. I tell them in the intercom why I'm there. They let me in. I talk to the main office person, Emily, she was very pleasant. She sends me down to the vice principal's office and says, talk to them there. I go down there. I tell Gladys my story. Gladys says, well, you need to go back to the main office and get a visitor's pass. Okay, all right. So I went back and did that, put on the pass, and then I walked around the school for 20 minutes unattended. All right, this is the largest high school in Iowa. Lincoln is ginormous, three levels, and I walked every one of them, past classroom after classroom after classroom full of kids, your kids. I could have been anyone. No one asked for an ID. No one accompanied me. I just walked everywhere. And every step I took made my stomach a little more sick because I realized what that meant, what it could mean. It could mean exactly what you think it could mean. Someone could come in who is not your pleasant, unsecret shopper with ill thoughts and thinking they're going to do your child harm, and they could have done it. That 20 minutes, there's a lot of destruction that could have went on. So I hope the good folks at Lincoln haven't responded. I haven't heard from them, but I hope they're thinking about what happened and changing their security because they need to. Beautiful school. Oh, my gosh. incredibly ornate, beautiful, polished. Listen, whoever cleans your floors, give me their number. Hello. I'm looking for somebody who can do mine. And they're much smaller, I might say. What else happened? North was the craziest experience. I was sitting and waiting for the counselor to engage me, and she was very nice, Jessica Gogarty. But while I was sitting there waiting for Jessica to get done with something, there was a teacher who brought in a student who apparently had done something wrong and sat the student down and told him not to move. Okay, all right, sure, no problem. Well, the two secretaries who were in that office both jumped on him as soon as the kid just sort of stood up, and the teacher and the two secretaries just like jumped on him. He told you not to move, you know? I mean, he was just like, you move, you get in trouble. Karen chimed in. The teacher said, you weren't supposed to move, and you moved. And it's clear. And I sat there afraid to move. I mean, these people were serious, man. So yeah, probably not the way you want to be with a kid in front of an adult. And if, you know, yeah, probably could have done that better. Roosevelt, Donna, and Julie were amazing. They were wonderfully engaging. Two receptionists were very receptive. There was no one else really who could take care of me at that point. Julie, unfortunately, when I asked her, well, actually, what I said was I was bringing my son up for socialization, as I told you, that was the premise. And Julie then said the following. She said, well, socialization, she said, I took my kids out of Des Moines Public Schools because of academics, said the Roosevelt employee. Urbandale, West Des Moines, Johnson, that's what you should look at. They all have good programs. I could get in trouble for telling you that. Again, she's throwing her boss under the bus. She can't do that. She can't go there. You cannot do that. It makes you look bad. It can only make you look bad, ultimately. So, yeah, there's a better way to do that. Urbandale assistant principal Tim Carver was fantastic. Wasn't very engaged at first, but he really made a decision to do so at some point and then gave me the golden tour, took me all over, introduced me to faculty. He was wonderful. And Valley, shame on you. Just flat out shame on you. They handed me a pamphlet and said, listen, after you've made a decision, if you decide on Valley, get a hold of one of our counselors. Well, the counselors are about 20 feet from me. I've just traveled up from Texas. Now, why in the world would somebody think, I mean, that's why I'm there, you know? And shame on Valley. Shame, shame, shame on you. I was right there. I just driven 700 miles. You got to engage me. Okay. If you want to read the full review, it's in two parts. It's a big one. You can go to www.theunsecretshopper.com and check it out. 10 Des Moines Area High School Secret Shop. Very interesting. Some things in there I think you'll find. And you can respond, too, at www.theunsecretshopper.com. Coming up, Tony Ellsworth will respond. He is one of the four assistant principals at Ankeny High School. He was featured in the review. He joins us next. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. I hope there is a smile on your puss and a song in your heart this morning at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. Rolls on. 824, thank you for tuning in this morning. All things customer service. Smile, of course. Yeah, one of those pillars, smile, greet, and gay. I think it's the first one, and, well, actually, handing out chocolate, that probably should be number one. But, yeah, the smile is right there. Coming up, I'm going to take a look at the best customer service movie in history and why it is so. And it may not only shock you but surprise you coming up. Also, a business is closing in Ames in November, actually. Sadly, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to lose their job. How much does customer service have to do with that closing, if anything? We'll get to all of that. A man who knows a little bit about customer service, he certainly engaged me with many of the pillars of great customer service, is Tony Ellsworth. He is one of the four assistant principals working very, very hard at Ankeny High School. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much. Tony, you've been in 7 years now in the field of education, but we read the papers and it's... you know, school test scores are down. They're low. Iowa's struggling, and it's tough. Educators aren't making enough. Parents are upset. And if you read the headlines and you buy into it, then that's kind of what we're thinking is going on. It's not going so well. So I have to look back in time a little bit. And whatever possessed you to go into the field of education?
Well, that's actually a funny question. Out of high school, I went to the University of Northern Iowa with intentions of becoming a chiropractor. I actually studied the pre-chiropractic route for about 3 years and maintained a minor in Spanish the entire time. And I did a practicum experience at Waterloo East High School, and something just clicked for me. I really loved working with kids. I think it went back to my experience as a high school student growing up. I loved high school. I loved my teachers and still stay in contact with a lot of them today. And I just knew when I did that first field experience that chiropractic wasn't my calling. And so, you know, started down that track to become a teacher, and the rest was kind of history from there.
And so you kind of went from cracking backs to cracking the whip, if I could so say that.
That's kind of an interesting comparison, I guess, when you think about it. But
sure.
I spent several years in the classroom before I started cracking the whip here as an administrator.
Well, you know what? And it doesn't seem that terribly different, because one of the qualities that teachers, all teachers, and I've known a lot of them and been around them, have dated them, got engaged to them, and the whole thing. And one thing that just seems as a common quality, not rocket science here, but it's a sense of nurturing, is a sense of wanting to give something back, and the sense of helping young people evolve, and a level of love, even, I would say, that is stronger than in many other people. Were you always that way, Tony?
You know, Johnny, I would say that I was. You know, when I was in high school, I mentored younger students through a program we had in the school I grew up in. You know, loved coaching Little League and that kind of thing growing up. I've really always enjoyed working with kids. I just didn't realize it till I got a little bit older. So I really feel like this was the right calling for me. I just kind of stumbled across it in a unique way, I guess.
So when you went into education, and you didn't really plan on going down that road, but what has been the biggest single surprise to you so far?
Boy, that is a great question. You know, I'm surprised every day in this line of work. You know, whether it's something a kid says or does or comes to you, or you get an email from a former student that tells you how much you've meant to them, or you know, really, there's just so many things. And the one thing I can say is that two days are the same. Really keeps it kind of interesting. But as far as surprises go, you know, I've been at this work, you know, like I said, 7 years, and there's always things that catch me off guard. So I don't know that I could identify one thing specifically that has been a big surprise to me. But, you know, like I said, I think every day is just a little bit different.
And how does, and Tony, and my guest this morning is Tony Ellsworth. He is one of four assistant principals at Ankeny High School. He joins us this morning on the Unsecret Shopper radio show at 1350 KRNT. And how did you get, I mean, when people go into education, I know what your mindset was, but are people thinking, hey, I can work my way up the ladder, I can eventually go into administration, I can break through the glass ceiling, whatever. Was that, tell me about your journey.
Sure. You know, I didn't have that aspiration at all, to be honest with you. I started a master's program at Iowa State with a couple of friends at the same time. Just thought we would, you know, go back into school and continue our learning a little bit. And I didn't have any intentions of really jumping into this line of work right away, but an opportunity presented itself to become an assistant principal in Southern Iowa with somebody I had a lot of respect for and had known professionally and personally for a number of years. And took a chance at it and was offered the position. And so I really didn't have any intentions of making that transition to the role of an administrator. But I can honestly say I have no regrets, and it's been great ever since.
Now, I'm guessing this would be probably wrong to assume, but do you do teaching on any level?
Yes. Yeah, I taught at Waukee High School and Waukee Middle School before becoming an administrator.
And actually, now as an administrator, do you with Ankeny, do you get a chance to do any teaching?
Not officially, not like a classroom teacher would.
Sure.
You know, but there's always those informal opportunities. Teachable moments is kind of a slang word in our line of work. But,
sure.
One of the neat things that we do here is every employee in the building has an advisory group. And so there's a lot of instruction and curriculum that goes along with that group. We meet once a week. And so that's one of the ways that I connect with the kids, more similarly to the way I would have in the classroom.
Give parents some insight. I mean, a lot of parents are listening to this show, and they read the papers, and they hear the headlines, and they're, you know what, I think it's safe to say, and Tony, I'm sure you talk to them all the time, that they're scared. I think there's a lot of parents out there that are scared for not only their children's academic future, just for the future of all. And there's a sense, I think, and I hear this, and it's too simple to be completely true, that we're losing traction with them, that kids are becoming more disinclined to want to push themselves harder. Or is that just because I'm in a bad mood, didn't have my coffee this morning? Is there some legitimacy to that sort of gloom and doom? Or tell me what your experience is.
Well, again, keep in mind, I've only been at this line of work, Johnny, 7 years now, but I think one of the things that, you know, we see is that that seems to be a common theme that we hear year to year, is that the work ethic isn't what it used to be and that kids are disenfranchised with school. But, you know, I guess I don't see that as much as maybe, you know, as the next person might, but, you know, I know that I'm proud of a lot of the things we do. I think we do reach out and touch more kids than we miss. And, you know, I feel good about the way things are going and the way that public schools and schools in general are preparing the next line of leaders and civic leaders, and I feel good about that. I've heard those concerns, but I guess as somebody who gets the privilege of working with these kids day in and day out, I don't have those same level of concerns that maybe some of your audience has shared with you.
Tell me the biggest difference between a 16-year-old kid that you deal with today and the 16-year-old kid that you dealt with at the beginning as a teacher or further back or when you were 16 or whatever. What's the biggest difference, positive, negative, or otherwise?
Yeah, the one difference I've seen in just the last 20 years is the amount of technology and the access to information kids have. You know, when I was in high school, the cell phones and the laptop computers and the internet were just sort of emerging as a new technology. And now kids have so much access to instant gratification, instant information, and that's really changed a lot of people's perspective in terms of the way we educate kids. And that, to me, is the one thing that really stands out, Johnny, that's changed even in the last 15 to 20 years.
Well, let's do a role play. Let's say, and Tony, I don't know, and I want to find out exactly what you do at Ankeny High, and so this will be a good way to go into it. Let's say that I'm an unruly 16-year-old kid at Ankeny High School. Let's say that I got my drawers down to where they shouldn't be, and I'm spitting, and I'm hissing, and I'm chewing gum in class, and I you know, I don't know, I'm not bathing properly, and I'm using a salad fork when a regular fork is, you know, all the things that just are, you know, the kids shouldn't be doing. And that kid gets sent to you, a kid that acts out. Do you get those kids?
Yeah, typically when a kid's acting out and, you know, although I've never had quite that scenario you described pop
sure.
into my office, Johnny.
Sure, but, sure. Well, it's still early. You've only been in 7 years, you know?
That's right, right. Well, you know, when kids do make poor choices at school, typically we get involved. We have sort of a unique setup at Ankeny High School. Each assistant principal is grouped with a counselor. So we really like to circle the wagons and surround kids with positive role models and people that can talk with them. Not just about punishment. You know, when I was in school, a visit to the principal's office took about 2 minutes when he handed you a detention and shushed you out the door. I think we've really changed our philosophy, and, you know, we still work on some things as far as putting interventions in place that hopefully motivate our students to make the right choices. But, you know, for instance, when a kid's sent to the office, typically we'll sit down, we'll process what they did, why they made that choice. And then from there, we've got kind of a buffet of options. We have sort of a unique program at Ankeny High School where we, instead of punishing a student like we might have when you or I were in school, we take away privileges that they've been awarded. So, for example, we might take away the student's ability to attend school events and activities because of the choices they make. We might take away their ability to have an open period or a free period where they have the right to leave campus. So, we're trying to get away from this punitive model where, mm-hmm. you know, you get a day of in-school suspension or a day of detention or something like that. And instead, when they make poor choices, take things away from them that are meaningful.
So what I'm hearing is as soon as a kid comes into the system, you just want to start showering them with bennies. That makes it easier because then you can start yanking them away when they act out. That's what I'm hearing.
Right. You know, all kids at Ankeny High School, by virtue of just walking through the doors, are awarded a similar set of privileges. I would say for about 95% of our student population, you know, they start with them on day one and walk out, you know, on their last day as a senior. So,
sure.
You know, we like to think that this program is working, but, you know, there is a percentage of our population that, you know, we have to, from time to time, sit down with them, put interventions in place. And by an intervention, I'm talking about, you know, the loss of a privilege.
Right.
And it varies. Like I said, we try to personalize it. We know that what's meaningful for you might be different than what's meaningful to me. And so,
right.
You know, within a consistent framework, we try to, you know, do something that's meaningful to the kid.
I'm guessing that you do run across parents who maybe don't subscribe to that particular philosophy that you have at Ankeny High School that may still use a punitive model. How do you balance the way you're doing it And then maybe the kid goes home and, you know, maybe there's a strap, you know, for discipline. Maybe it's old school. How do you, and I'm sure though that happens, I would suspect.
Yeah, you know, this is our first year in this model, and I probably should have mentioned that, but this is our first year trying this model, so we're still kind of on a learning curve here. We have, I guess we've had more positive feedback than anything. You know, but what our plan is this year is to take a look at our student data to see what type of impact this program is having. But, you know, related back to the question, Johnny, about parenting and that sort of thing, you know, thus far, we haven't run into any issues where there's been a big discrepancy between the parents' philosophy and ours. So I think that, you know, one of the positive things thus far is that the feedback has been very positive. So, you know, if parents are unhappy with the program or not seeing eye to eye with us on that, we haven't heard much of that thus far.
My guest this morning is Tony Ellsworth. He is one of four assistant principals at Ankeny High School. We haven't even talked about customer service, of course, and that's what's led you and me together in a review of Des Moines area high schools. I did a Secret Shopper review. I reviewed 10 schools, five of the Des Moines Metro and five in the burbs, and Ankeny High School was one of those. And I actually was engaged by you, Tony, and had a wonderful time with you. And then sort of the cat was let out of the bag because there's a faculty member there who I had in school when I went to Ballard High School back in the old day. And we'll get to all that. But my main question is, after you read the review, was there anything specifically about you or about any other teacher or school that sort of surprised you, or was it pretty much how you thought it would be?
You know, I pretty much agree with what you wrote, and I see, you know, as I read the entire article start to finish, I think you point out a lot of really good points. You know, as it's never easy to be critiqued like that, and the score didn't come out as high as I would have liked, obviously, but I think that the positive thing I'll take away from this, Johnny, is that you've left me with a lot of things to think about and a lot of areas that, as I reflect on it, I think you've identified some obvious areas for improvement as far as, you know, welcoming parents to Ankeny High School and that sort of thing. So I appreciated it. I thought it was an interesting process, but I agree with what was said, and we'll take a lot away from it.
Is there room as we struggle and we want to increase test scores and stay ahead on math and science and history and English, as we all those left brain precepts? I know it's not that simple, but you know, analytical process driven in many ways. Is there room in that sort of, with that pressure and that sort of curriculum and the time shortage with students and teachers alike, to be able to say being nice really also matters? And acknowledging that, is that sort of built into the fabric? Is there specific things in Ankeny High that you do to try to teach on, say, the pillars of smile, greeting, engaging, thanking, anything like that?
Well, I think if you remember back to my comment earlier about our advisory or advisement groups that meet weekly, interwoven to that curriculum, Johnny, is really a focus on just the things you've mentioned, in addition to some other things. But it's really about building community, building culture, and focusing on some of those softer skills that aren't related to math, science, English, social studies, or elective areas. And that's sort of our plan of attack, because we identify those as obvious, you know, areas that have a tendency to sort of get pushed off to the side in a culture and in an area where everything seems to revolve around test scores and that sort of thing. So that really at AHS, that's our plan, is through our advisement program to interweave those themes and set our kids up with a solid background of that sort of soft skills.
Well, to quote one of my favorite bands of all time, you are you definitely teach our children well, Tony. And I know that the group there at Ankeny High does an outstanding job in high achievement in academics, athletics, extracurricular. And I lived 10 miles from you for 18 years, and I always heard great stuff. And I know that the faculty is very, very lucky to have you on board, and I'm sure you feel the same. And I just want to thank you for spending time with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Johnny. It's been a pleasure, and I really have enjoyed this process, and I mean what I say when I've definitely identified some things to work on and some areas of improvement based on the feedback that we got, and to be honest with you, based on some of the feedback that other schools got, so I just appreciate it.
Tony Ellsworth, assistant principal at Ankeny High School, and one of the things that we didn't talk about in the interview, the cat kind of got let out of the bag. While Tony and I were engaged, of course, he didn't know I was a Secret Shopper at the time, and I knew that there were some faculty there that I had known or knew, and one of them was the great Gary Telford, who was teacher at Ballard High School for many years and has been the athletic director at Ankeny for many, many more and is retiring this year. But, of course, Gary knows me pretty well. And, of course, who would come in while he and I are engaged? But, of course, the great Gary Telford. And so, eventually, I had to let the cat out of the bag with Tony. And it was a very funny moment. And good luck, Gary, in your retirement. 35 years committed to the watching students grow. Just amazing story. Coming up, what is the greatest customer service movie of all time? You'll find out next. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. It's 8:42 at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Welcome, shoppers and non-shoppers alike. I don't know if anybody is a non-shopper, so I must be all in. Iowa State, Iowa playing tonight. Gonna be cold out there as Iowa tilts with Penn State. I think that's at Kinnick Stadium. And I know that Iowa State is taking on Texas Tech at Jack Trice because I'm going to be there with 45,000 screaming, quite chilly fans. The weather forecast says we'll drop all the way down to 36 tonight. We're going to a football game? What, are we nuts? What, that's crazy talk, man. Today, though, sunshine still on the cool side, 59 right now. We are at 51 degrees here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Well, you know, I hadn't thought about this in a while. It sort of came to me last week. There was a film that was played in Ames. It's an older movie. It's been out a long time. And I had actually been thinking about this film in terms of customer service, and it made sense to me some things when I really thought about it with what is one of my favorite movies of all time, that this film had a lot to say about customer service. And so last week, Thursday night, I got a chance to see it with a good friend of mine up in Ames. And so I thought, you know what? Yeah, this really is, after watching it, the best customer service film of all time. So let me... The best customer service film of all time is The Exorcist. Now, before you start laughing or throwing up, let me tell you why I think The Exorcist is the finest customer service movie of all time and why there's so much we can learn about great customer service. First of all, it's established, as we talked about earlier in the show, that retail is all about problem solving. Every store, every service, everything is about solving a problem. I'm cold, give me a blanket. I go to a blanket store. I'm hungry, you feed me, right? You go to a restaurant or a grocery store. I'm tired of living under a bridge. You build me a house and sell it. That's a house selling store. And if you're possessed, where do you go? Hello, The Exorcist. Sure, okay. So the customer in this case, well, let me backtrack. The Exorcist was made in 1973 based upon the William Peter Blatty blockbuster novel. I think it sold 6 million copies. The story of a young little girl, which is as opposed to an old little girl, living in Georgetown at Washington, D.C. Mother makes a lot of money. She's an actress. And the little girl becomes possessed by the devil. Yes. And that's a problem. Yeah, you're possessed. You can't. A lot of things you can't do when you're possessed by the devil. The biggest thing I have to tell you is that no hat will fit your head. Because the devil's, you know, you have those devil ears. Yeah, and the hat just won't go over top of it. Anyway, there's a lot of other problems with it, as you know if you've seen the movie The Exorcist. So an exorcist, a priest, Father Karras, finally the mother convinces a priest. She goes through medical test after test, and this is an indictment on medicine and technology in a lot of ways. That's what this movie is sort of making a statement about that. And she goes through more torture in a doctor's office than she does in 10 minutes of being exorcised by the two priests. I'm just telling you right now. So she goes through all that. They can't find anything wrong with her. Goes to a psychiatrist or a shrink. They were still calling them shrinks back then. That was kind of funny. And they can't figure out. And she's getting worse and worse. And so they call in the exorcist. She finally convinces Father Karras to come in and perform an exorcism. And so he brings in and they bring in Marin, Father Marin, who is played wonderfully by Max von Sydow. And he looked 80 in that movie, and he was only 40. And now he's 90, and he still looks like he did then. I mean, it's amazing. The guy is like, I think he's Austrian. You know, he must just eat really good food over there or something. Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example. So Marin and Karras come in, and the bed is flopping around, and there's total chaos. Yeah, and there's this music. Yeah, which is Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells Part 2. which was number one back then. Yeah, it was scary. And the movie came out, and they get the devil to finally, they convince the devil through a lot of negotiating that wouldn't it be better if we relocated you? And he says, all right, well, listen, I have my son, Devil Jr., who I'm going to be enrolling in high school. Can you tell me about the high schools in the area? Well, listen, I don't think you want to go to Lincoln because they just let people wander around. So there was that whole kind of, I don't know if you remember that scene in the film, but sure. So anyway, at the end, Devil gets his butt kicked. Reagan, no, not the president, but Reagan, the daughter, played by Linda Blair, wonderful, amazing. There's a documentary on that, and it's unbelievable what she went through. She was 13, just like the kid in the movie was. And the devil gets out, everybody's happy, life goes on. Okay, cool beans. What does that have to do with customer service? Simple. Customer's got a problem. Retail is a solution. The retail, in this case, being Father Marin, Father Karras. They solve it. In fact, they do whatever it takes to solve her problem, including dying, which Father Karras does. Remember, he gets the devil. He just, come into me. Come into me. And he's fighting with Linda Blair, who's not Linda Blair, but is the devil. And they're physically fighting. I thought the devil was going to bite off his ear, but then Tyson had already sort of handled that part. And they're thrown, and finally, the devil says, all right, you asked for it, here it comes. And he goes inside Father Karras, and that's a very unpleasant, listen, you were feeling fine, and then next, the devil's in you. It doesn't feel good. So how does he react? He jumps out of a window. Yeah, he kills himself, sure. He gave his life for his customer so that they could be better served. Listen, you go into a Dolls, and you need a loaf of bread, and you have an employee who goes and gets it but ends up dying in the process. I'm not saying that would happen. You're saying, you know what? That's some pretty doggone good customer service. So anyway, that's The Exorcist, the finest customer service film of all time. Oh, yeah. And here's a little, here's a Muzak version of The Exorcist theme. You can all dance at home. Oh, yeah, I'm getting into it. Feels good. Coming up, sad moment for a company in Ames, as they have to close their doors in November. How much of that has to do with customer service? We'll take a peek at that coming up this morning. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, you little devil, at 1350 KRNT. He's on the go on. Mr. and Mrs. Businessman.
You made your fortune, yet you're working hotter than ever before.
Chill out, let your hair down, have some fun at work today. Actually, during the week, too. You have fun, employees have fun, customers have fun, everybody's having fun, happy. It's all about being happy, isn't it? Isn't it all about being happy? Yes, of course it is. We were born to be happy. We come out crying and screaming, but like I tell trainees, listen, that's just because we didn't know how to say, you know, I'm very happy to be out of that womb where it's kind of wet and dark and it kind of smells, frankly, after 9 months. Yeah, it's all about happiness. You're a business owner, employee, you tap into happy. You're going to have customers for life, major league loyalty. I don't care whether you're a school administrator, if you're running a come and go, whatever it is. It's just connecting to what we all want more than anything else. It's just to be happy. Yeah, that's all we're about here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. If you'd like to help me help business owners and employees do a better job of being happy and so making happy customers, i.e. if you'd like to be a secret shopper or come work for the Biosphere, my company, go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. We are hiring secret shoppers every day. It is an exploding business. It is amazing once you start to see results as business owners and how they say, yeah, I want to know more about that. I want more. I wanted that unsecret shopper thing. That makes sense. It's a triangle. It's training, diligence, and secret shopping. The diligence comes from me. I'm inside my stores every day, those that I train with that are customers, watching employees engage customers, going over the pillars of great customer service. The training happens on a weekly basis, full-fledged, all-staff training. We do it at Dolls, Westside Auto Pros, all my clients. I sit down with 100 people in a room, and we talk about the pillars, and we role play. It's strong stuff. And then the secret shoppers go in, and they show us, are we living up to the mandate? Are we following training? And then we play that audio back in training, that testimony from those secret shoppers, and it creates the synergy, and it works, and it works. From a longevity, loyalty, and revenue standpoint, this program works, and I'm just excited, and it won't stop growing, I tell you what. I wish there were extra hours in the day because I need them. Hey, I've got a few things from the email mailbag. You know, really, mailbag, that's kind of outdated, really, when you think about it, because, you know, the post office. Boy, don't even get me started on customer service at the post office. That'll be another blog post. Secret Shopper Reader Mailbag says the following. Johnny, thanks for the feedback via the blog. Cheryl and I have talked about it in terms of how it can help us directly. I'd welcome a return visit to talk in more detail about areas for improvement at Urbandale High School in regards to welcoming visitors and providing a quality experience to visitors. Thank you so much, Tim Carver, assistant principal at Urbandale High School. Tim, thank you so much. You guys did so well. Johnny, thank you so much for sending this my way. I forwarded your blog to the Valley Administration, District Administration, and our Board of Education. We really appreciate your observations. Looks like we have some room for improvements. Regards, Kay Rosen. Kay, I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. Director of School Community Relations at West Des Moines Community Schools. Johnny, thank you for your visit to Dowling Catholic. I'm a little disappointed to learn that we will not have a chance to welcome Logan to our school. I love the line. It's awesome. I appreciate your comments and recommendations. However, I'm troubled by your characterizations and my comments regarding where is the best place to live in the area. This is from Tasha. Remember, I said that Tasha said east side not so good, west side better. She says, I do not recall, and it is not in my nature to speak critically of any area of our community. At least 45% of our students receive some type of financial aid to attend school at Dowling Catholic. I would kindly request that you make a factual change to your story. Sincerely, Tasha. Tasha, I was taking verbatim notes during our conversation, and I stand by those. But I appreciate your feedback from Dowling. Good morning, Johnny. Thank you for your email, Tasha. Oh, that's from Katie Peterson, the admissions director at Dowling. Oh, they did send me, yes, in the fifth pillar, which is follow-up, they did send me, they mailed me a nice little follow-up card. So I want to apologize. I said that the fifth pillar wasn't followed, that there was no follow-up. But they did, yeah, they mailed me a nice little thank you for coming in. So thank you, Katie and Tasha, for doing so. Dr. Matthew Wendt, Ankeny Community Schools, sends a nice thank you. Our administrative team looks forward to reading about your experience, which of course they did. And Jerry Deegan from Dowling Catholic, he is the president, says, Dear Johnny, thanks for your note and the feedback. I'm glad you had such a good tour and had the chance to meet all of the folks at Dowling Catholic High School. Tasha is a wonderful person. I'm glad you were able to meet a number of others at school as well. There's some reader feedback. You can feedback as well, www.theunsecretshopper.com. You can email me, Johnny, J-O-N-N-I-E, at theunsecretshopper.com. A final word this morning to some folks up in Ames who are about to lose their job. That is the employee staff at Cub Foods, owned by the Super Value chain. I believe Cub Foods is headquartered in the Minneapolis area up in Minnesota. There's quite a few of them. That Cub Foods has been around quite a while. It's on the north side of Ames, north of the North Grand Mall, if you're familiar with that area. And, you know, economic times, tough times, we'll begin to separate those businesses that do a great job of customer service from those that don't, or even those that do an average job of customer service. And I know the folks at Cub Foods had a customer service training program. I know that. I know they'd had some secret shoppers come into the store a time or two. In fact, I've been into that store a time or two. I can tell you consistently that the customer service was below average. That was my experience. It isn't that I posted about it or told anyone about it. It simply was. And then what happens frequently happened. Fairway built a brand new store within a half a mile of that Cub Foods. And that is what I tell business owners all the time, that somebody somewhere is planning on building a competitor, a direct competitor of yours, within 500 feet of where your business now stands. And they're going to have a bigger store with more selection. They're going to have cheaper stuff. And they're going to have a customer service model that's going to be amazing. You got to plan on that because it's coming. And even if it isn't going to be built in brick and mortar, it's already built on the internet. You know, the internet was built for the military. That's why the internet was invented, Al Gore notwithstanding. But the truth is that the internet has become the store that we always wanted our stores to be, but have not been. Instant gratification, saving money. I can sit there in my underwear and order junk, and it will be sent right to me. And you know what? I don't get a smile in every aisle. I don't get a greet. No one comes up and, engages me when I'm on the internet. But you know what? They're not doing that in the store that I go to every day anyway. So if it's comparing that to sitting at home and ordering stuff, I'll just sit at home and I'll order it. And every brick and mortar store is threatened by that. And every employee that doesn't understand that runs the risk of working themselves out of a job. And I know there's much more to the story at Cub Foods, and I feel tremendous empathy for the employees in that store who have now been turned loose, unfortunately, in a bad economy, to try to fend for themselves. And Cub Foods will relocate some of those employees. They're open to that, but it's still tough. It's tough at the stores that are succeeding in the Cub Food and the super value chain. And so remember, smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up, do it with passion. Do it because you have to, but more than anything, do it because it's what's right. Have a great weekend.